This is a Scoop Audio interview with Materia Tere of the Green Party, and we're chatting about the decision up in Whangamata to turn down the marina application. Materia, are all marinas necessarily bad, or is it just the one in Whangamata?
Not all marinas are necessarily bad, but you have to assess the development of public space for private use against other values, like the public recreation, like the environmental values. And those assessments have to be done on a case-by-case basis. At Whangamata, it was clear that the environmental values and the public recreational values around that place outweighed the private development interests of the few who wanted to build the marina. It's a harsh judgment for those who really wanted the marina, but that's just the way it works.
Okay. Now, I chatted to Mick Kelly of the Marina Society, and he seemed to think that the public would be able to wander out onto the marina and that they'd still be able to sort of use the space. So how do you mean in that way? What do you mean by private?
Well, they won't be able to do the things, the public won't be able to do the things they used to do in that space. They won't be able to swim there, they won't be able to fish there or surf there or, you know, picnic with their families on the beach there, because there will be a marina there instead. So just being able to wander around is not the same thing as retaining the public recreational values of the people who were using it before. At the same time, the marina development included a car park over a salt marsh that is an important wetland area that provides a very significant kind of environmental process for the wellness of that whole marine area. So, you know, this is not about people being able to swap one value for another that's equal. It's about really significantly changing that environment. And so I don't think it's sensible to say, well, that people could wander around there and so it would be all right, because they won't be able to do the same things that they've been doing before.
They wanted to put up a car park in paradise. Is it really a paradise?
Well, it's one of the most popular holiday spots in the country. And thousands of people go there, and they go there so that they can access it and they can do all the things that they've been doing there, you know, for generations. This is not about being anti-development for development's sake. It's about being cautious about the decisions for growth and development and assessing them very carefully against what is going to be lost if that private development goes ahead. And so that's why, you know, not all marinas are necessarily bad, but you have to make those assessments very carefully. And I have to say that the Minister of Conservation, his job is to make that assessment about whether the private benefits outweigh the public loss. And I think he was right to say that the public loss, the loss to the environment, was too high in this case.
That's an interesting point. Who is the little guy in this equation? Is it a small group of boat enthusiasts fighting big government, or is it a small group of Maori and community beach lovers fighting, I guess, development?
Well, I guess the problem is having that kind of dichotomy, that it's one or the other, and one necessarily has to be a loser. I know the people who want the marina feel like they're the losers in this case, but we have to stop thinking about development and growth and the environment and community interests as being diametrically opposed. That the decision to keep that area safe for recreational use, for iwi and hapu use, for the environmental values that are intrinsic to it, is a good decision for everybody, including the people who want the marina, because they then still have access to that area as a public space. Their public rights have been protected. It's their private rights or their private interests that haven't been protected. And it's important to remember that the people who want the marina don't have any rights to that space. They have no private rights. They wanted to take public rights away from people so they could have their private rights instead. So I think that that the community as a whole are winners in this. If we truly value, you know, the ecological protection of important areas like wetlands, if we truly value the importance of the coast, the New Zealand way of life, all of those things that New Zealanders tend to think of as incredibly important to them when it comes to coastal areas, if we truly value that, then we are all winners from this decision.
And just finally, the Environment Corps, are they a bunch of green activists? Or, I mean, what is exactly the Environment Corps?
I think it's very difficult with the RMA has been perpetually eroded over time, so it's more and more difficult to use the environmental protections in the RMA to keep areas safe for public use. And I think the Environment Court, when interpreting the RMA and, you know, plans, are finding that that is quite difficult now, and tend less towards protecting the environment and more towards promoting development. I think, you know, they assessed the information they had before them, but they didn't take into account the national importance of the area. The minister had a responsibility to make that consideration, and I think that he did the right thing. The Environment Court did their best job with the information they had, but in the end, the Minister of Conservation is supposed to protect everybody's interests, and that's what he did.
And you're not fearful New Zealand's heading towards a Robert Mugabe sort of dictatorship thanks to this this decision, as Nick Smith was hinting in Parliament?
Oh, Nick Smith is completely out of control when it comes to this issue. He was one of the ones, when the foreshore and seabed debate was raging, that staunchly defended the public's right to access the beach, staunchly defended New Zealanders' way of life to have picnics and go swimming, and didn't want those Māoris to have access or any kind of rights over the foreshore and seabed because they would privatise it. You know, and then the next year, he's defending these a bunch of people's rights, private intentions, to privatise that same coast. So I think Nick Smith has been incredibly inconsistent and really rather hysterical about the whole issue.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your viewpoint there, Materia.
No problem. Thank you.